In Lexington, just before dawn, Revere had arrived. A sentry raced into the village green. Redcoats, hundreds of them, were less than a mile away and coming on fast. The men and boys, tradesmen, farmers, mechanics, and one slave, all who had been waiting there since midnight, came running and began gathering in a line. The oldest was 65, the youngest in his early teens. All in all, on or near the green, there were about 70, almost half of the men of the village. As they were assembling, and as the British were entering the edge of the village, Revere and a townsman ran into the tavern. Together, they manhandled the heavy trunk and got it down the stairs. The very moment the British came into view of the green, where fewer than 50 of the patriots were lined up, Paul and his helper ran with the trunk through the line toward the houses on the far side. All around the green, many of the people of the village were milling about. Some were militiamen getting ammunition from a building. Others were women and children, there out of concern for their families, for their friends, and for their town. The militiamen had no intention of firing. It would be suicide against such an army. Yet at first, they stood there, protectors of their town, just as their fathers and grandfathers before them had in times of danger. Then, as the lines of the army swarmed onto the field, Captain Parker, their militia leader, told them to simply go. The men began to walk away, some faster than others. At the same time, Pitcairn loudly ordered his fast-moving men not to fire, but rather to surround and disarm the Americans. As the redcoats charged toward them, Pitcairn's mounted officers galloped straight at the militiamen, yelling, "Throw down your arms, ye villains, ye rebels!" No American even considered laying down his weapon, though most were leaving the green, and not one of them had his rifle aimed. As the yelling redcoats charged, someone on one side or the other fired. That's all it took, and the redcoats went berserk. Completely out of control, a crazed mob. They were firing and bayoneting the Americans as they ran from the field. Pitcairn could not stop them, and they continued firing as fast as they could load, as long as an American could be seen standing. The rest of the British arrived as the massacre was ending and soldiers were beginning to attack homes. The commander, Colonel Smith, had the drummer beat the signal that finally brought the soldiers to their senses. But by that time, 8 American men and boys lay dead or dying before the eyes of their horrified friends and families. The British had killed citizens in their own town for absolutely no reason. This had never happened before. Within half an hour of arriving, the 900 were marching out of the town toward Concord without a backward glance at the survivors. Pouring acid in the wound, the British commander had his men shout loud cheers at their success as they marched away. If they had any idea of the rage they had set loose, they would have turned back toward Boston immediately. Almost before the British headed west, express riders were on their way with news of the atrocity on the green. Immediately, what was left of the militia reformed, and with hatred and revenge uppermost, they set out for Concord.